Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Strong Body, Stronger Mind podcast. It has been a little bit since our last episode, but, you know, life happens, and sometimes life happens, but we're here. We're back. My name, for those who are new, is Celeste Barker.
And I, Chelsea Stewart, and I just looked, and we are actually on episode 19. So there has been a little bit of a break, but dude, we've made it 19 episodes. That's pretty freaking cool.
That is a milestone. We are on our way up, and we will be a bit more consistent once things settle down, once I move in 11 days. So
holy crap. That's
exciting. Yeah.
Holy crap. So for those of you guys who don't know, I live in Tampa, and well, actually I live in Riverview now, which is kind of Tampa, but I live in Tampa-ish, and Celeste is moving. I mean, shoot, it's going to be what, 20 minutes, 15 minutes away from me in 11 days.
Pretty much going to be neighbors. And it's going to be a great
time. I'm excited. It'll be much nicer for us too when it comes to planning out when we're going to be able to podcast. Because I think a big issue, well, I know a big issue that we're running into is we're 3 hours time difference. So trying to figure out when we can do a podcast that is crack of dawn for Celeste or midnight for me has been quite difficult for us, unless we're podcasting in the middle of the day, which is also
neither of us can do.
It'll be nice to be on the same time zone, but I guess we should kind of like tell people where the heck we've been. You know, obviously we were on our prep series, I guess, and Celeste prep is now over.
We are 5.5 weeks post-show, which feels like a lifetime, but also feels like it's been no time. It's kind of weird. But
yeah, the post show goes fast.
Yeah, it really does. But yeah, basically the tail end of prep is just like a lot, and it just takes a lot of mental effort and physical effort. And so it was just a lot going on. And then with traveling, and then traveling back home. And then after I got home after my show, I got sick. And so I literally couldn't do anything for like a week and a half. And then, yeah, life has just been crazy since then.
Yeah. And you, it's not all on you that we haven't podcasted. Been super busy as well. Moved house. That was a big to-do for us, moving to the house. And then, you know, just dealing with a family member being sick and just kind of having to help out in that department, plus our regular work. I mean, throughout everything we do, we are always working. The beauty of online coaching is you never have a day off. You never take a week off. So we have all these things going on, and you know, the show must go on. So finally we found a little bit to sit down and talk to you guys. And we have a really cool topic today that kind of goes with everything, at least Celeste is dealing with, is post-diet. So handling the end of a deficit, the end of a prep, the end of a lifestyle cut, you know, everybody's kind of post-diet journey is going to be a little bit different, but it's very obvious to know what you're doing and what's going on when you're dieting, but we end the diet and a lot of people get very like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? So we want to talk about it.
Yeah. And first thing we want to kind of differentiate is post prep versus post lifestyle, because it is going to be a little bit different in terms of what is necessary, like immediately. So coming off of a prep, we're at the tail end of a prep, body fat is going to be fairly low, at a point where it is definitely not somewhere that is sustainable or healthy for you to stay there. And so the goal after a prep is to get body fat back to a healthy place. Whereas Whereas with a lifestyle cut, you know, the end result is not going to be as drastic in terms of body fat. So, you know, we want to be able to maintain the progress that we've made while, you know, working on bringing food up to a more sustainable place from a lifestyle perspective.
Yeah, I think the idea of reverse dieting also, it just gets very confused out in our industry, because there are of us who, I mean, for me, I have clients and I have prep clients. And then for me, I've done lifestyle cuts myself and I've done a prep myself. And so, you know, reversing out of that diet looks a little bit different depending on where the end of the diet got you. So like Celeste said, excuse my dogs. I love them so much. I said, you know, you end a prep, and where you're at the end of a prep ain't a place you want to be staying. You're going to be having some health complications if you stay there. So with diet, yes, you are reversing out of the diet, but the goal is weight gain. And the goal is actually to gain the weight back, and not a ton of weight back, obviously, right away, but to gain a decent amount of body fat back fairly quickly so that you can get healthy fairly quickly. But if you're just dieting, when we say lifestyle diet, we just mean like, you know, your Susan or Joe are trying to lose some fat. You shouldn't be getting to a place that's unhealthy. If you're just dieting for the heck of dieting to try to lose 20 more comfortable in your body and more confident, you should be dieting to a healthy place. So your goal post diet is not to just gain the weight purpose. So your reverse diet is more so to bring your calories back up, because I don't know about you, I ain't trying to be eating diet calories for the rest of my life, maintaining the results of the deficit of the diet. So I think that's where it gets a little bit confused, and people are like, well, so is reverse diet be weight gain or is it supposed to be maintenance? You know, and the thing is that reverse dieting, try to not think of it as like, what is the goal of it? What is it? And it's just reversing you out of a diet.
Yeah. The goal afterwards is going to change. It's going to kind of depend on where you want to go. You know, if your goal, like for most competitors, the goal after they end a prep is to get ready for their improvement season, to improve for the next time that they step on stage. And typically that means going into a building phase. Whereas with, you know, a lifestyle person, after a cut, after a reverse, they may just want to maintain the physique that they've achieved after that cut. And they don't necessarily want to go into another building phase.
Yeah. So let's kind of talk about the end of prep first, and then we can talk about the end of like a lifestyle diet, because, you know, I think the end of prep there's really only one trajectory to go, whereas the end of a lifestyle diet, you kind of have a little bit of different options. Like I know for me, I've competed one time, but before I competed, I had gone through cuts and bulks and cuts and bulks. So I had gone through building phases, and I have lots of clients who have no desire to ever step on stage. And after the end of dieting phases, sometimes they say, hey, I really want to put on more muscle. So they do go. So it's not just competitors that go into building seasons, but let's talk about like the end of prep and what that kind of looks like. Before we kind of shift gears into the lifestyle, I think it's kind of a good way to go too, since we were like doing our little prep series before this.
Yeah.
So end of prep, there are two different camps of how to go about it. You've got your like slow, steady reverse diet camp, and then you have your more so like recovery diet camp of, hey, let's get you eating a decent amount more food faster. Let's get your hormones kind of regulated faster. Let's get some body fat on you and basically recover you as quickly as possible, versus some people will take the route of very slowly increasing food and decreasing cardio in more typical reverse diet fashion.
Yeah. I think there's no like right or wrong way to go about it. It's really going to depend on one, where the athlete's health is at. Like if your health is like in the shitter, a slow reverse is probably not going to be in your best interest to get you healthy again. Now, you may want to do a slower reverse to, you know, for body image sake, just to, you know, ease into the transition of gaining weight, you know, seeing lines fade, all of that, but you're also prolonging the time that you're just not feeling good. And that it's kind of a trade-off there. But again, there really is no right or wrong way. It's going to depend on the athlete's health, the athlete's mindset. And that's where having that open communication with your coach is going to be extremely, extremely important so that you can be on the same page with kind of where you're going.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned the mindset too, because like just even speaking, we more so, I would say like slowly reversed me out of my prep. And the reason why is because, you know, I seriously have struggled with body image issues. And so I think we both, me and Nick, were just a little bit concerned how I would handle it. Didn't want me to spiral disordered eating or disordered just relationship with body or food issues. And so we did take a little bit slower of approach. You know, initially we had like a good initial bump of food. However, looking back, I kind of wish we would have gone more of like a recovery approach, just know how bad my health was. So that's the kind of tricky part, is sometimes you don't always know. Especially coming out of like a prep, people will utilize their period, for females at least, as whether or not their health was just like very much so affected. But I actually didn't lose. But then, you know, 3 months post show, when I got blood work done, my blood work would have told you otherwise. Just looking at the blood work, you would have assumed I didn't. So I don't know what that's all about, but somehow your girl just kept on going strong. So it's hard. Like you said, it's hard to say, cause it's like looking back, I'm like, wow, I would have really liked to have started feeling better faster. But at the same time, from a standpoint, I think for me, going slow has made the weight gain easier on me. Just for reference, I'm up like a little bit over 20 pounds from my stage weight. And I think if I had gained 20 pounds in like 3 months post show, I would have freaked. That's just me being honest. I do not see how I could have possibly handled that well mentally. And I think it could have potentially turned into me just very much so struggling with body image in relationship with food and stuff. Whereas going nice and slow, I have a really great handle on my body image. I love the way I look right now, 20 pounds up, which is crazy for me because I'm heavier than I've been in like years. But because we went slow and steady, I was like able to like mentally lean into each new pound, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, having like, this is my second reverse, and my first reverse, we took it on the slow route because of like those exact reasons. Just like, it was my first reverse. I didn't know what I was getting into. And like coming from seeing yourself so lean to, you know, having to put on weight, put on body fat, it's hard for anybody to go through that. So that first reverse was a bit of a slower approach. But going with that and going into this reverse, I look back and it took me like 3 months, 4 months after my first reverse to actually like start feeling decent. And so after my show this time, I just wanted to feel good. I just wanted to start feeling better. And so this time we did bump up food pretty significantly after for like my first week. We kept cardio in a decent, not like high, it was definitely not what I was doing like pre-peak week, but it was on the higher end, but it was still lower. But I think for me and my body, it was more of a recovery approach. And honestly, I think it was a good idea because I got sick like 4 days after that. So my body honestly needed that. But we didn't know that going into my reverse, but I just knew that I wanted to feel better. And I knew that, you know, the weight gain was going to come. I knew that, you know, the body fat needed to be put on. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't gain like a crazy amount of weight. I think I'm up like, I don't know, 5 pounds from my pre-peak week weight in 5 weeks. So that's like a pound a week. And I feel fine. I feel like I look fine.
Yeah, that's not.
Okay. Body image comes and goes, like that's kind of all the time. But I definitely, just like health wise, in terms of like energy levels, in terms of, I haven't gotten blood work done. So like, I don't know where my blood work is at, but we're getting that done after I move. Because right now I feel like my cortisol would be through the roof. but, I got my cycle back. I know that's not like the epitome of what health is post prep, but I did lose my cycle like in March, I think. And I just got it back like 3 days ago. Whereas last reverse, it took like 3 months for me to get it back. So I think that's kind of interesting. But yeah, definitely. I think.
Noticed feeling better.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel better. Like physically, I feel better. Mentally, it's like always kind of an up and down thing with post show. I also think that just with everything else that's going on in my life, it's also just kind of exacerbating the mental struggles. But like food wise and health wise, I feel like this approach was definitely better for where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think that you were able to kind of like learn that about yourself over time. And that's where it comes down to just knowing yourself. Like, for example, if you have like, so for a coach, you know, for me, like if I had a client who I knew struggled with binge eating in the past, it doesn't make sense for me to slowly bring her out of a prep when I would much rather have more food coming in protocoled and just maybe keep cardio in a little bit and just try to, you know, basically recover the relationship with food as quickly as possible versus, you know, a client who has the potential to restrict their food if they, you know, are having body image issues. So there's a lot of just knowing yourself, knowing your triggers, knowing what your struggles are. And so, you know, we even talked about this in the, like, are you ready to prep podcast? But like, you have to know not only if you're mentally ready to prep, but also you have to be able to recognize how stable you are and how good of a place you are. You're probably going to struggle a little bit post show. So you kind of need to know what your goals are so you can tell your coach those struggles so that they can help to make a game plan that's going to get you feeling your personal best as quickly as possible. And I agree, man, if I could go back, like I said, I think that next time I would probably like to go for more of like a recovery based approach, just because, I mean, it took me like 8 months to feel good again. And that was like, you know, 3-4 months post show, getting blood work done, seeing what was wrong, supplementing with stuff, pushing food a little bit harder after we saw what was wrong. Okay, well, now we kind of know how my body responds to an extreme diet. So we know what to do next time to get me feeling better faster. So again, end of prep, totally different than end of lifestyle. I kind of like to think of like at end of prep, you have to reverse up to like where somebody would be end of lifestyle diet, right? Yeah. To where you're still lean, you still have a low body fat percentage, but you're healthy. So now that we've kind of like evened the playing field of like post prep, now you're up to a normal place. This is where end of lifestyle cut and end of prep are kind of at the same place. Is do I want to maintain this physique? Am I happy with this physique? Am I happy with the amount of muscle on my physique? Am I happy with, you know, shape that I have? Or would I like to maybe enter a bit of a growing season, a bit of a building phase, and improve upon my physique, either to step on stage again with a better shape than you had before, or to just look better in real life and have more muscle, maybe an improved metabolism, have a more toned you know? So basically kind of deciding what the heck where do I want to go with this is like.
Yeah. And like you said before, like we have clients who after a cut, they want to grow, they want to get stronger, they want to make more progress in the gym, grow their delts, grow the booty, all of those things. And you know, we also have clients who, you know, don't want to do all of those things. They like where they're at. They like the amount of food that they're eating. They're able to, you know, take days off from tracking. They're able to, you know, utilize all of the tools that have been given to them to make this a lifestyle without having to, you know, feel restricted or feel like they have to, you know, go through all of these phases again. And that's fine, right? That there's no right or wrong. It's all about what the individual wants to do and asking yourself, you know, what are my goals and what are the, you know, actions that I need to do to make those goals a reality, right? If you're a competitor and you want to improve and you want to improve your next physique, then odds are you probably need to go into a building phase to put on some more muscle to improve. Whereas if you, you know, maybe are maybe done competing or, you know, you're transitioning into a more lifestyle approach, then, you know, your actions are going to align with what that goal is.
Yeah. I like how you, if you like how much you're eating. So let's talk about that for a second, because everybody wants to know what the magical secret is to improving your metabolism or speeding up your metabolism. And I think that there's this misconception that you can just reverse diet your little heart out and never gain any weight if you do it. And you can just eat so calories. And, you know, there are a lot of, misleading posts on social media that make it seem like, oh my, I got my client to eat 3,000 calories a day and she didn't gain a single pound. Okay, cool. That girl's metabolic capacity was just, that is not everybody. And that doesn't just matter. The only way to actually really quicken your metabolism is either to do a lot more. So your metabolism is just how much are you using? So if you want to eat more food and maintain your weight, you can either just basically never stop moving and just walk all the time and run all the time and work out all the time, or you can build some muscle, and having more muscle on your frame will burn more calories. But in order to muscle, you have to be willing to take a season where you're going to eat in a surplus, you're going to gain weight, you're going to gain body fat, because you physically, your body is not prioritizing putting on, gonna have to eat in a surplus in order to build it. But once you have spent some time building that muscle, you can diet back down, and that's when you'll be able to maintain your leaner physique with more food. So if you finish a diet, you reverse diet, you get to a point where pushing any more food is equating to weight gain, that's kind of when you have to make the decision, either am I happy with where my body's at and where my calories are at in order to maintain this body, or would I like to try to put on some that A, I can have a better shape, but also B, I can maintain my body a little bit more flexibly with a little bit more food. And I don't know about you, but I love eating food, so I'm always down to try to maintain my weight on more food.
Yeah. And everybody's maintenance calories is going to be different. Everybody's metabolism is going to be different. Everybody handles food differently. So, you know, don't feel like you are this fitness failure if you're not able to maintain your physique on 3,000 calories, because most people cannot. But that is a good point about, you know, just improving your metabolism and getting your food to a decent spot. And I say like a spot that you feel good at, because a lot of times when we, you know, we get clients that come to us eating like 1500, 1600 calories, maintaining their weight. And, you know, you think that you feel good at that intake, but you don't know how good you could feel eating more and still being able to, you know, maintain a really good physique.
Yeah. So the thing with maintenance calories too, to realize, episode on this, so I won't get too in depth, but the thing with maintenance calories is the only way to really know like kind of what your higher capacity maintenance calories are, because your maintenance calories will, it's a range. It's not this like dead set number. I know everybody wants this like mathematical equation of how to figure out your maintenance calories, but again, just like anything, I mean, you as a day and Tuesday difference, you're going to move differently on Monday. You're going to burn different amount of calories Monday versus Tuesday. You're just human beings aren't robots. We don't do the exact same input output every single day. So your maintenance calories will ebb and flow. But to figure out what that higher capacity is, you basically just kind of slowly but surely see what happens. If you get to a point where you are actively gaining weight, well, you've probably surpassed what your maintenance caloric intake is. If you are maintaining your weight, given you're going to ebb and flow, you're going to fluctuate, then you're probably, you know, at your maintenance calories, and you can try pushing it up again until you get to a point where you do actively gain weight. But I forgot where I was going with that. But my dogs are bark, so I'm all stressed. But yeah, so I agree though. It's like, you know, some people think that they are totally fine living on 50 calories a day, but something yourself is not only like, do you actually feel energized to work out and to clean your house and to, you know, do all of the things that come with life and go out of a work day. Like, do you have energy for all of that? Because if not, you might not be thriving as much as you think you are. But also, does the idea of eating out of restaurant give you anxiety? Does the idea of, you know, eating a cookie that day make you think, oh man, I'm going to have to pay for that later and be super hungry in order to make it fit my cap? You should have the ability to be flexible within your approach without feeling like you're just going to gain a bunch of weight. Because if one dinner out or one cookie or one something like that is causing you to just gain a bunch of weight, your metabolism is probably not that great, you know? And again, the only way to really on that is to spend some time not dieting and building some muscle tissue. And we kind of already talked about it. We want to do our next podcast episode will probably be all about like building a building season, how to embrace a building season, how to go about a building season. But again, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where you just have to make that decision. End of diet. Do I like how I look? Do I like how I feel? Do I like how I'm able to maintain this? Can I be flexible? And if any to that or no, then maybe consider spending a little bit of time growing and just trying to improve upon your quality of life while improving your physique.
Yeah. And that can kind of like carry us into the next topic of talking about the struggles post diet. You know, one of those can be transitioning into a more flexible approach because, you know, when you're dieting, things, especially if you're from a prep, things were very regimented with your food, very regimented with your cardio, very regimented with your training. You knew what you were doing every single day at the same time for the most part. Eating pretty much the same foods, and it was just like without missing a beat. So transitioning out of that to a more, you know, flexible approach, being able to, you know, go out to eat and, you know, maybe not bring your own food or bring your food scale, being able to, you know, kind of auto-regulate your training a little bit, having more time because you have less cardio, like that adjustment can be a struggle because for a very, very long time, that was your normal. That was your day to day. And so shifting away from that is kind of, it's a mind fuck, to be honest.
Especially coming out of prep too, like anybody who's ever prepped knows that like just being very goal oriented and having this just like end goal, you know, like the finish line that you're working towards, it's very every day in a sense. And I think end of diet for some people is like this very freeing thing. And yeah, for some people, it's this very, what the heck am I thing? And so if it's a freeing thing for you, hell yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations. You're a normal person. But for those of us crazy, we like to have something to be working towards. And so when it's true, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if it was just freeing to be like, oh, hey, I have more free time, sick. But instead we're like, oh, I have more free time. What the heck am I supposed to do? Yeah. So I think it's important to right off the bat, you're coming out of a prep, whether you're coming out of a lifestyle cut, immediately set some goals for yourself. And they don't need to be gym focused goals. They don't need to be strength focused goals. I think those things can be very helpful and they can be very motivating to, eat more food and to, you know, want to work harder or whatever. But I think it's important to right off the bat set some like freedom of life goals as well. So like for me coming out of my prep and out of my dieting phase, I want to day per week where I can basically just like John and I can go and like be out of the house all day, and I don't need to be like worried about like how I'm gonna get my next meal in or how I'm gonna get my protein goal hit, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or having goals like you said of being able to go out to dinner and just pick something on the menu is either having to, you know, study the menu the day before and find something that's gonna fit your macros and then planning your whole day around it, or with you, or just being able to like go on a heinous trip with family or friends, like setting these like life goals that are more so focused on the flexibility that you now have, or even things like projects around the house or hobbies, like we're going to join a bowling league. So things like that, where if I was having to do cardio every day, I probably couldn't join a bowling league because I wouldn't have time. So just having these things like ready in your head to go can give you that purpose that you're looking for.
Yeah. And just getting excited about all of the life things that happen. Like for me, coming out of this prep, I was immediately thrown into getting ready to move. And while yes, it's like a lot, it's also something exciting and something to look forward to, and something that, you know, could I have handled it during a prep? Yeah. Would it have been a lot harder? Probably. Just being extremely low energy, having to, you know, balance training and a lot of cardio and packing and still working. So like you said, just setting the next goal, focusing on what the next thing is, even if it's not, like gym focus goals, like that's usually like my go-to is like, oh, I want to do this in the gym and this in the gym. But that kind of wasn't what I could do this time around because I couldn't train after my show. So shifting to more life goals, shifting to more work goals, and just more flexibility goals, I guess. But it is important to just figure out what's next for you. Because like you said, it's hard when you put your everything into a prep and it takes a very big mental, physical toll on you. So figuring out what your next steps are and just talking with your coach about it, talking with your support system, having a good support system coming out of a prep is huge. And just taking it one day at a time, because some days are going to be easier than others, but as you know, I just lost where I was going with that, but focusing on the next goal, focusing on, you know, non-physique related goals.
Yeah. And I think most of the people that listen to our podcast are probably not competitors too. So,
yeah.
You know, I like to remind my clients, like, why did you diet? Did you diet so that you could be in the gym all the time? Or did you diet so that you could feel more confident going out in regular people clothes? You know, did you diet so you could feel more confident in your day-to-day life? Like, what were the things when you started your journey and you started your diet that you were so excited to feel more confident in? You were so excited to feel more confident in that bikini, to feel more confident in that dress, to feel more confident in your lingerie. You know, go freaking put that stuff on. Go live your life and go, you know, celebrate the body that you just busted your ass for God knows how long to get to, you know? So taking the focus away from dieting now allows us in the body that we just really worked hard for. So it's a very exciting time if you let it be, especially for those of you guys like not coming out of prep, you know, have to kind of going back to like making your decision if you want to maintain your weight or bulk again, you don't have to pick one right away. It's okay to just enjoy the body that you worked really hard for and to a little bit, make the decision down the road. But like, don't forget to enjoy what you worked hard for, because you worked hard for it. And if you just kind of like are constantly like, I have to have a new goal, I have to have a new thing I'm working for. Yeah, that's fine. That's great. But like, don't forget to be proud of what you've just accomplished too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Really, really good point.
So something that I also talk about is the of hunger increasing after dieting. So it's kind of interesting, and something that I think a lot of people don't expect is towards the end of a dieting phase, hunger actually kind of like goes down a little bit. And when we start to reverse you out of the deficit and start to bring your food up, get hungrier. And this throws everyone through a loop. Nobody expects it. And even those of us who know it's coming, you know, we
know it's like a
trick. Why it's coming. We know that it's coming. It still is like shocking. You know what I mean? Like, holy crap. I've been eating. I just remember like end of prep. I've been eating, you know, I'm not going to say how much food I was eating, this amount of food, and I've been fine. And now I have 80 more carbs a day and I'm ravenous. And this 80 extra carbs is doing absolutely nothing for me. And I could eat 400 more carbs. And what's happening there is when you diet, your leptin levels go down. Your leptin is going to be that hormone that basically tells you you're satisfied, you're satiated, and your ghrelin levels actually go up. But towards the end of your diet, the ghrelin levels kind of get blunted a little bit. But once you start feeding food more into you, that ghrelin automatically spikes up, and ghrelin is your hormone. So it's the hormone that tells you you're hungry. So that guy spikes up, but leptin doesn't spike up near as fast. So you get a huge spike in the hunger hormone, but not as big of a spike satiation hormone. And to top it off, you know, you have more food. So mentally you're like, oh, I've got more food, and now I've got more energy, and now I'm going to do all the things. And you end up burning a lot more calories than you were before because you're not exhausted anymore. And now you're really hungry because through all of the food that you're consuming a hell of a lot faster than you were before. I mean, anybody who's ever dieted down super low knows, like, towards the end of a diet, you don't do all that much unless you're purposefully doing stuff. Soon as you start eating again, you're bouncing off the walls. You're taking all the walks. You're killing it in the gym, hitting PRs left and right. You're burning through that food. And
yeah. And those pesky hunger hormones can cause some issues for those. I think a lot of people have heard about like the post-show struggles with binge eating and things like that, relationship with food. And, you know, this is from a prep perspective. It can happen in a lifestyle perspective as well. But, you know, coming off of a prep when you're super low body fat and your body just, it wants to put on body fat. It wants to just get food. And then, you know, combine the physiological effects of your hunger hormones being out of whack, combined with the psychological aspect of quote unquote not having a show anymore. It could be easy to fall into overeating, and, you know, especially within the first couple of weeks when your food is, you know, maybe if you're doing like a slow and steady reverse approach that we talked about before, no, your food might not be at a place where you're feeling satisfied. And so the tendencies to want to overeat are going to be a lot higher towards the end of or coming out of a dieting phase.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're not prep, even if lifestyle, you know, let's be real. How many people, I'm like looking for hands up or something.
Raise your hand.
How many of you raise your hand are, you know, you're dieting and you maybe aren't dieting for a show, but you're dieting for a vacation, or you're dieting for a photo shoot, or you're dieting for your wedding, or you're dieting, whatever it may be. A lot of times, at least for me, when my clients tell me they want to diet, I want them to have some like tangible that we're dieting for, you know, that's a big motivator. That's a big driver. Yeah. To stay on track and to stay motivated and disciplined. So, okay, cool. So you have this big vacation, and for the last, you know, 4 months, you've been dieting for this big vacation. Well, the vacation's over now, and now you don't have this like thing that's reeling you back in every time you want to deviate from the plan. Yeah. Having that goal, regardless of if it's stepping on stage or going on vacation or whatever it may be, it makes it a lot easier to be adherent when you're just not in the mood, because you're not in the mood, but oh my gosh, I am getting, it's my wedding day. I'm only getting married one time and I'll be damned if I don't look my best on my wedding day. So I won't eat the cookie. Fine. Wedding's over. Cookies are still there. And I really want to eat it. And I got no reason not to. It's hard. It really is hard. And, you know, the goal is to be able to be more flexible. So eating one cookie ain't going to kill you. Okay. It's fine. I mean, even if you're dieting, eating one cookie is not going to kill you, but it's still, you don't want the one cookie to turn into 12 cookies, right? So I think something that you need to recognize is that it's okay to not be perfect right off the bat. I see a lot of people coming out of shows or even just coming out of diets feeling like, well, I should be able to just return to normalcy and have all of my house again. And I should be just fine. And I have an eating disorder if I can't have a box of cereal in my house without eating it all. Or I have an eating disorder if I can't candy and only eat half the bag. You don't have an eating disorder if you have a little bit of a lack of control right after dieting. You just need to learn to be able to be okay with where you're currently at while wanting to work to where you want to be as far as that relationship with food goes.
Yeah, and it's definitely a learning process. Like from my last reverse, I definitely struggled with, you know, having trigger foods in the house and all of that. And so I use that for this reverse, knowing like, okay, I know that I can't have these certain foods in the house because they're trigger foods. Doesn't mean that I can't have them in the house forever. Doesn't mean that I can never have them in the house again. It just means that, you know, for right now, where my, you know, mental state is in a more fragile place coming out of prep, I, you know, need to honor that and recognize that, you know, the food focus is going to be there for a little bit. And yes, it's frustrating to, you know, feel like, oh my gosh, why can't I, you know, have this discipline? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? But just recognizing that it's temporary, it's going to get better. It's something that I have to be reminded of myself. But, you know, like Chelsea said, you're not a failure if you're not perfect right off the bat. Nobody is perfect with their diet, literally ever. So giving yourself a little bit of grace, but also recognizing what you need to do for you to keep yourself, you know, in a good spot post diet.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, I've been in the same place too. And you know, I have a client right now who's coming out of a diet, and, you know, she's kind of beating herself up because she bought a box of cereal and she ended up overeating the cereal. And she's like, she wasn't even really beating herself up about the fact that she overate on the cereal. She's beating herself up about the fact that she feels like she's never going to be able to have cereal in the house again. And it's like, No, your food is still very low. You're still in a sensitive state. You know, this specific client does have a history of struggling with binge eating. And so she thinks that like all of the progress that she's made over the years of like working on her relationship with food is gone. And it's not gone. You just have to recognize that like you still have 150 carbs a day and a bowl of cereal. Realistically, if you're pouring a bowl that you actually want, because let's be real, one serving of cereal ain't it, is like 60 of your carbs, you're eating almost half your carbs in a bowl of cereal. Of course you want more carbs. Like that's not a lot. So it's kind of like when people are dieting, when my clients are dieting, you know, I make a really big point to say, hey, you can eat whatever you want. You know, I preach flexible dieting. You can eat whatever you want, but we need to be real. The fact that this is how much food you have to consume, you are going to be significantly more satisfied, satiated, and full from eating vegetables, fruits, whole grains, potatoes, things like that, than you are from eating cereal, candy, Pop-Tarts. So Same thing coming out of a dieting phase. If you're still hungry, wait until your food is high enough and at that like peak amount of maintenance calories to start trying to incorporate foods like that. Because if your food is still low and you're still hungry, we choose foods that are actually going to fill us up. And cereal don't fill anybody up. I use cereal when I'm bulking because it doesn't fill me up. So it makes it easier to get my food in. It's not a food that I'm going to consume when I'm starving, because no matter what my relationship with food is, if I'm starving, a bowl of cereal is not satisfying me, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes we got to learn that the hard way, you know, by eating the bowl of cereal when maybe it's not the best choice for our hunger. And so, you know, we it's a learning process, and, you know, we have to take that as it is. And as we make those, I don't want to say mistakes, but as we, you know, learn through this process and make those decisions, recognizing like, okay, I did this last time, didn't really work out the best in my favor. So I'm going to, you know, make a different decision so that, you know, this process is going to be a bit easier for me.
Yes. I know that, unfortunately, I know a lot of people probably come to podcasts like this and are looking for us to give you this just like perfect template of exactly how to handle post-dieting, how much food to add per week and how much cardio to take away per week and this cookie cutter plan. But the thing is that it just isn't that way. And I hope that we kind of got that across, that some people need to come out of a diet faster. Some people, you know, for me, even as a coach, for some clients, you know, if they are very, very, very busy and we were already barely able to get the cardio in and the workouts in, I'm pulling their cardio out pretty quickly versus somebody who very, very, very hungry and really wants to eat food. I may push food into them first before pulling the cardio out. And it also, it's personal preference. It's what the client needs, mental health needs. It's what our physical health needs that makes a difference. So unfortunately, there isn't this like cookie cutter plan, you know, and then some people's metabolisms are a lot more adaptive. So, you know, I've had some clients where, dude, I add 20 carbs and they, you know, bloat and they have digestive issues. And, you know, that was too much for them versus I have some clients, I can add 60 carbs and they plow through it and they're still hungry and they drop weight that week. So yeah. So it just, it depends on the person. It depends on the response. And that is kind of why, you know, we are so adamant about not only understanding, but also putting forth the effort to understand your own body and to understand your own mental space, because so much of the decisions made coming out of a diet and how to handle it are going to come down to how your body responds, but also where your mental health is and what your mental health needs in order to get you feeling your physically and mentally as quickly as possible and being able to enjoy the body that, again, you probably worked very, very hard to achieve.
Yeah. And being just having that open communication with your coach, because things can change day to day, week to week, with a post-dieting period, you know, whether it's lifestyle or coming out of a prep. So being open with your coach about how you're feeling, being open with your coach about how things are going, what you're struggling with, and, you know, maybe different tactics if you think something different is going to work, because, you know, the goal is to get you feeling good as soon as possible. So whatever plan is going to allow you to do that is the plan that is going to work for you.
Ma'am. I think that is kind of all we have on this topic today. But like I said, we really could talk an entire podcast worth of talking handling a growing season, how to go about a growing season physically, mentally, food wise, everything wise. So that'll be our next topic. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, please share it, post it on your stories, tag us, and let us know if there are any other topics you would like us to cover in the future.
Yes, give us that 5-star review and get excited for us to talk about getting swole, because both of us are now going into, well, Chelsea's already been in her growing season, but I'm going in there.
I'm 20 pounds, guys.
Once I'm through this recovery phase, we're going to be going balls to the wall with growing, and I could not be more excited for that. Building season is the best season, so get ready for that. But for now, that is all we have. So thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time.